Welcome to today's Kicks Plus Coffee and happy Wednesday. Unless you're not listening to it on a Wednesday, and then happy whatever today is to you. Today is a mini-sode, and full disclosure, it is actually something that I recorded a long time ago, maybe a year and a half now. And it's a little less lighthearted than many of the things that we talk about here on Kicks Plus Coffee for a couple reasons. One, it was a talk that I had given to a group of women. And this talk was coming on the other side of a really, really hard time, probably the hardest time I've ever been through in my life. And so it just came from a place of things that resonated with me and for me. And I will share a little bit, I think, about that coming up. But the other reason for that is actually a text message that I got from not even a person, but a company, if you can believe that. Are y'all signed up for like text messages from stores and stuff where they like tell you about the sales and it's like 10% off today, or like them weird sales that they're like for the next 3 hours, everything is 7.5% off, you know, those really annoying ones. I am signed up for this one at the store that I have bought precisely one thing from. And honestly, it's not super my vibe, so I don't know if I'll ever buy anything from there again. However, they sent me a text, an automated one, of course, but it was about Mother's Day because that's coming up. And it said, "Hey, Mother's Day is coming up. We know it is a sensitive time or a hard time for some people. So reply with, you know, pause if you'd like to sort of take a break on seeing messages about Mother's Day." And I thought to myself, wow, I've never seen anything like that before. And I was really impressed and I was really grateful because of some things that, again, I will talk about soon. I think Mother's Day is a really sensitive time for me. And I just really appreciated that. But knowing that for myself and knowing why it's a hard time for me and why it's a hard time for a lot of women, I thought that sort of as we are beginning to see so many things roll out in anticipation of Mother's Day, which is also a very beautiful time as well. It's complicated. Let's put it that way. I thought it might be a good time to have sort of this, a bit of a solemn reminder, but a hopeful one. So if you're like me and things are getting a little complicated, or you are just in a place where you are in a hard season, coming right out of a hard season, or know someone who's in a hard season, then this is for you. So I am going to play that message for you, and then I will sort of bookend it at the end. So there you go.
I had the opportunity to speak to a group of amazing women about this topic, and it really hit close to home for me, and it seemed like a lot of the ladies identified with it as well. And a couple asked me to share again so they could listen again, which was surprising to me, but you know what? Praise God. And it is just a quick little chat about a passage in the Bible. If you have been a believer for a long time, you've probably heard. And if you haven't, you maybe haven't heard it, and it's going to sound super weird. Just letting you know, okay? But it comes from Ezekiel 37. And Ezekiel is a prophet. And essentially what happens in this chapter is that the Lord gives this prophet a vision, right? And he takes them out to this valley of bones. Just this like desolate land of dry, crusty, dusty bones. Okay. And I would absolutely encourage you to go read that chapter, Ezekiel 37, 1 through about verse 15. It's short, but it's a lot in there. But I am going to start at verse 3. So they're out there. The Lord and the prophet are looking at this field, this desolate land of bones. things that are just like scattered and dry. And the Lord says to the prophet, "Son of man, do you believe or do you think that these bones can live again?" Which is kind of a weird question, right? And so the scripture says, "Son of man, do you believe these bones can live again?" And the prophet answers, "Lord God, only you know the answer." Simple enough. But I feel like I glossed over that a lot. The first like 15, 17, 22 times I read that. And I thought, oh, he's just being like super reverent and like, oh, holy God, holy Father, only you know. And maybe he was, right? But I think I have a bit more in this particular season of my life of an appreciation for what he said. He, you know, there he was, if we think about it, in this valley, this desolate land, open field of these bones scattered around. The elements had got to them, right? They were sun bleached, meaning things that were not in their control had damaged them and had a negative effect on them. Now, I'm a person who I need like minimalism to function. My brain gets too confused real easy. So I need just like blank slates, which is why my house is like one color and all of that, right? So I can imagine if I'm standing there looking at all these bones just scattered about, I'm probably feeling overwhelmed. I'm probably feeling like this is just kind of depressing. A little unsure. And so the Lord asks him, "Do you believe these bones can come to life?" Essentially, he's asking, "Do you think this chaotic, depressing, impossible, weird, uncomfortable, hopeless situation can be rectified to the point of wholeness and order? Can this intense brokenness be mended?" That's a really big question. And now, on this side of things, I have an appreciation for this prophet's answer. This man of God who's super holy and supposed to know all this stuff and who preaches probably and teaches and serves and does the things he's supposed to do for the Lord. And his answer is essentially, "You know what, God? I have no idea. I don't know," right? I think we're so reluctant sometimes to just answer with it. "You know what, God? I don't know. I'm not sure." And I think there's so much freedom in a really genuine, heartfelt, "I don't know." But here's, I think, the thing, right? He didn't stop at the "I don't know." His answer was, "God, I don't know. But I know that you know, and that is good enough for me." And that really got me. So many times, myself and maybe you, I feel like I need to know the end from the beginning, right? I need to know what's going to happen, or I feel like I'm only useful or seen by God when I know how my gifts can be used and I have things in a row, or when I'm really solid in my faith and I can make sense of where I've been and where I'm going. And that's not what's happening here, right? The prophet could make no sense of what this was. And the question God asks is, "Do you believe that what's wrong can be made right?" And the answer was, "I'm not sure, but I know you know, so I'm going to go ahead and just like listen to what you have to say. I'm going to put it in your hands." And God didn't balk at that. He didn't be like, "I thought you believed in me." He wasn't like, "Well, that's not good enough." When the prophet gave him that answer, God was like, "Bet, I can work with that," right? He started, like, the moment the prophet just relinquished his need to understand, God responded with opportunities to be obedient. He was like, "Okay, well, here, I'm going to give you this to say and these people to speak to, and this is what I want you to say and how I want you to say it." And I think that's a challenge to all of us, to me particularly as well, when we feel like we don't know what to make of life. The answer is not to run or to pretend. It is to rest, yes. But even in the midst thereof, the response to being unsure is to look for opportunities to be obedient. So if we keep going in the story and we go down to verse 11, where the Lord is saying to the prophet, these bones are like the whole family of Israel. And they're saying, like, we're hopeless. Our hope is gone. We've been completely destroyed. They are just like done. Okay. They are done. And the people of Israel at this time are like, they are not unified at all. And they don't, like, they have just been decimated as a people and they don't see a way back. And I have experienced that hopelessness before, where you're like, I don't understand how this can be good on the other side. And I think one of the things, like, hard lessons that God revealed to me is that hopelessness sometimes is the result of a lack in our humility, which sounds a little weird, but sometimes we pridefully try to schedule or manage or motivate or will or earn our way through tough situations. Like, if I do this, I can bring order and I can get the answers that I need. And I think that hopelessness that we feel is really the tension between realizing and accepting that we are not in control, right? And sometimes it takes that level of impossibility and hopelessness to get to a new level of humility. And humility is such a gift, because it says in God's word that if we humble ourselves under his mighty hand, he'll lift us up in due time. And that's the thing. He will lift us up. He will breathe life into these bones. He will bring them back together. He will heal, right? He can put broken things back together. I can't. You can't. You can't do it. You can't fix it. You can't heal it. I can't heal it. But when we accept this gift of humility, then we can see God move and we know that he is Lord, right? He is sovereign. He's in charge, whether it looks like it with our natural eyes or not. He's still in charge, right? In Colossians, it says that all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And that includes you. That includes your situation, whatever it looks like. He's still holding it together. Even though our perception in the natural doesn't always read that, right? But in the natural and the supernatural, God hasn't fallen asleep at the wheel. He's still in control. And so I think our heart posture when we are going through our own valley of dry bones, of just dusty, crusty, what is this God? It seems impossible. I think our heart posture includes these few things. Acknowledging the situation, right? We don't have to pretend we're not going through anything. We don't have to pretend that we're not sad or upset or confused. We can acknowledge the situation, but then also embrace the freedom that comes with humility of saying, God, I don't know what to do with this, but I know that you know, and that's good enough for me. Look for opportunities to be obedient. Don't run, rest. Yes, but then look for opportunities to be obedient. Speak the word of the Lord. The biggest thing God asked the prophet to do was speak. Speak to the people. Speak to the dry bones, right? Get the word of the Lord in your heart and speak it to your heart. Speak it to your situation. Lean on faith with, like, reckless abandon, almost illogically. We don't have to know, right? He knows enough. It's that whole Proverbs 3:5 thing of leaning not on our own understanding, which is real cute when you read it, but doing can be really difficult sometimes, right? Let God's process reign, not our understanding of the process. And believe in revival. Believe in revival in your heart, of your situation, of your soul, of your family, of your community. When it seems like the farthest thing from reachable, believe that God can revive it. I think our heart posture is simply this: to believe that God has the process for the impossible, to lay down our understanding and just take His, because He's the only one who can breathe life back into a dry bone situation. So I wanted to encourage you with that. I hope you found it encouraging and useful and helpful. And yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah. I actually haven't listened to that since I did it. And it really is a beautiful reminder for me of how good God is, because He really carried me through that time so lovingly. And even though there were some hard things that I had to hear and think about, I just know He was right there with me. So that story in Ezekiel, again, please read it, even though it's crazy, y'all. But what I love about it is, you know, there is that bit about, you know, Sovereign Lord, only You know. That is what the prophet says to the Lord when he asks, can these dry bones live again? But then what happens is, like, the Lord empowers him to speak, right? We talked about that, to speak God's word. And he says, like, this is what to say. He even gives him what to say. And then the Lord tells the prophet what will happen as a result of what he says. And he's like, I will make everything new, basically. He attaches tendons and makes flesh come upon the bones, and the skin pops back up, and breath, he says, speak to the breath, and the breath comes back. And all of a sudden, it's all these people just standing there, and it is a whole army. And God takes what looks like a big pile of nasty nothing and turns it into this robust power with which to go forward. And, you know, it's weird and it's noisy. And I don't know, it might have smelled kind of funky. I don't know. It's bones and stuff. It's been sitting there for a minute. It might smell kind of funky. I don't know. And it was probably a lot going on, but I just love how the Lord is with him through every single step. And he guides him through every single step. And I just think it's a beauty in the story that I just never saw. Sometimes the deeper places come from the deeper places. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you got to go through some things to empty yourself out of pride, of just thinking that you have to do everything in your own power. And when you are empty, you are just depleted, but God fills you back up. And that's what He did for me. So I hope this little mini-sode was good to you, for you. Please drop a DM on our social at Kicks Plus Coffee if you have a question, or if you can't identify, or even if you're going through a hard season right now, and we can partner with you and pray. And then next week we'll be back with a brand new episode, and it's gonna be good. All right, party people, share with your friends, share with anybody who needs encouragement, and I'll see y'all next week. Bye.